Hosanna, this is Palm Sunday. Welcome to Zion Mennonite Church. If you have a palm branch to wave, go grab it. Now, few of you have palm branches to wave. Find something around you to wave and wave it for us. And then every time this morning that you hear the word Hosanna, wave your palm branches. I'll be here in the sanctuary waving these two. But if you have something that can represent your palm branches, I would encourage you to find them and wave them. And then that's kind of a way that we can remember what it's like to be here present on Palm Sunday. Let me read for us the text from Matthew that describes this event from when Jesus was entering Jerusalem. It comes from Matthew chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." All this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Quote, "Say to daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks in the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Hosanna. We are blessed to be able to celebrate Palm Sunday. Welcome. My name is Bill Blank. I'm one of the pastors here. This morning, we will be hearing Jana preach the sermon this morning, and we're looking forward to that. I have a couple announcements for us this morning. If you're on our email list, you've got a bunch of information this week. I hope you were able to look at it and find your way through there. And I'm just going to look at the bulletin as a way to remind us. A lot of this is in our bulletins as well. This afternoon, the worship committee is meeting, and we're going to put together an outdoor Lenten walk. This is something you can come to the church building anytime, really any time of day. If you want to come the middle of the night, bring your flashlights, you're welcome to this. This is going to be outside. It's a self-guided tour. We're going to make that available. There's going to be some directions that'll be there. You can walk through, and there's five stations. It's kind of a meditative way to connect with some of the story of Holy Week of Jesus. And so we would invite you to come. There's going to be some activities that you do at each of these stations. So if you have, you know, if you're family and you have younger children, or you know, even if you don't have kids and you're an older person, it's great too. Just some activities at each of those stations. So we invite you to come and be a part of that. One of the activities is to paint rocks. You may have seen some of this this announcement in a flyer. I have the flyer over here. Paint rocks. And so bring a rock that you've painted. It'd be great if it's waterproof paint, knowing that, you know, we might have some rain this week. And again, these stations are outside. We're putting them together so they'll withstand the rain. I don't know if they'll withstand snow, but we're hoping not to have snow at this point. So that's all week long this week, and we're probably going to leave it up for next week after Easter, just in case some folks want to take part in that. That's the Lenten Walk. You're going to find that on the west side of the building. Just drive around. You'll see it there. Again, just to remind you that if you're here with others, put your masks on, social distance, be aware of that, please. And then next Friday, Good Friday Eve, we're going to have a service. This is a Zoom service, so we'll be at our homes. This will be through Zoom. Starts at 6:30. It's not a long service, probably half an hour, 6:30 to 7, Good Friday Eve, so that'll be Friday night. And then Easter Sunday, next Sunday is Easter. We're going to start the morning off early. At 6:45, we plan to meet here outside. We'll be on the east side of the building at the cemetery side. 6:45, we're hoping to see a sunrise. How many of you were awake this morning and could look outside? 6:45, who was awake this morning? Anyone? Do I have hands of anyone that saw the sunrise this morning? All right. So it's a little early, but we're looking forward to that. And then at 10 o'clock, we're going to have our service. And this is going to be the first time we're inviting people into the building for in person. We're going to have 25 people able to be in the building next Sunday, Easter Sunday. You're going to need to register to be here on that time, 10 o'clock. Registration will be through our website online. Look for details about that early this coming week. We're hoping that that can be something that's pretty simple. If you can't get online or you can't get to the website for whatever reason, find a friend that maybe can help you, or you can call the church. If Jody's here, she'll be able to help you. If I'm here, we can talk. I don't know if I'll be much help to you. Usually if the computer doesn't work for me, I just turn it off, walk away, and come back. And if it's still not working, then I call others. But registration for our in-person services, everyone will need to register that wants to be here, and then that's going to be online. If you have questions, need further understanding or direction, please feel free to reach out to us, either email or give a call to the office. We are looking forward to what God has for us next Sunday as we think about all that we have going on as we celebrate Easter. For our call to worship this morning, I'm going to be reading Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear or bad news, or fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. We look ahead today to what God has for us in these moments as we're gathered together as Zion congregation. And we also look ahead to what God has for us this week, this year, in all of life. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this morning, for your love for us. Thank you that we can step into a life that is in you, that fulfills us, that gives us a sense of direction and understanding and righteousness, and that you are with us no matter what. Today we say again, Hosanna. Lord, save us. God, be with us today as we sing, as we listen to songs, as we speak, as we listen to those who speak. May your Holy Spirit touch us in a way that helps us know more and more who you are and who you've created us to be. Amen. At this time, we're going to have two songs, Come Thou Fount and God Whose Grace Redeems Our Story.
Come thou fount of mercy, to my heart to receive my grace. Streams of mercy never cease. Pour songs of
for the lighting of the Mercy, Peace, and Justice candle. Jody is here and she'll be lighting the candle. This morning we recognize as Palm Sunday, Hosanna, which means save or that Jesus saves. As we think about the injustices around us, around our state, our country, around the world, this is a time that we need Jesus to save. Hosanna. And to continue to allow the evidence of Jesus in our lives in order that we might recognize God's mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy. And that we could see peace, to see peace in our world, in our country, in our state, in our counties, in our churches, in our families, and even more, peace in our hearts. May God grant us this day his peace. Amen. At this time, we're going to have the children's story by Bree Ettinger. So children, gather around. And then following the children's story, we're also going to have a Bible memory. And it's my understanding that Rachel Parks will be sharing a Bible memory following the children's story. Hosanna.
Hi, you guys. Happy Palm Sunday. So today is the day, this Sunday, every year we celebrate the time when many years ago Jesus came to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And it was that time that he sent his disciples, a couple disciples ahead of him, to get a donkey to ride into the city on. And the people were so excited, many people were excited, that they took palm branches and they waved them and they put them down and threw down their coats for Jesus to walk over when he was riding the donkey. In a way, that was their way of showing reverence and their way of showing him that they believed that he was who he said he was, the Son of God. And so the Sunday before Holy Week, the Sunday before we celebrate Easter, we celebrate this day. And you might remember at church before when we had palm branches and the kids would wave them and walk down the aisles of the sanctuary. And we would remember this day when you guys did that and what the people did for Jesus. So this week we're going to, in honor of Palm Sunday, we're going to stray from our Lent book because the boys and I read this book and we really wanted to share it with you guys. Since we can't be together and wave our palm branches, we're going to read The Tale of the Three Trees. And if you guys haven't read this before, you're in for a treat. And we hadn't read it for a while, and we're really moved by it. So here it is. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamed of what they wanted to be when they grew up. The first little tree looked up at the stars twinkling like diamonds above him. "I want to hold treasure," he said. "I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in all the world." The second little tree looked out at the small stream trickling by on its way to the ocean. "I want to be a strong sailing ship," he said. "I want to travel mighty waters and carry powerful kings. I will be the strongest ship in the world." The third little tree looked down on the valley below, where busy men and busy women worked in a busy town. "I don't want to leave this mountaintop at all," she said. "I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they will raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I will be the tallest tree in the world. Years passed, the rains came, the sun shone, and the little trees grew tall. One day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain. The first woodcutter looked at the tree and said, "This tree is beautiful. It is perfect for me." With a swoop of his shining axe, the first tree fell. "Now I shall be made into a beautiful chest," thought the tree. "I shall hold wonderful treasure." The second woodcutter looked at the second tree and said, "This tree is strong. It's perfect for me." With a swoop of his shining axe, the second tree fell. "Now I shall sail mighty waters," thought the second tree. "I shall be a strong ship fit for kings." The third tree felt her heart sink when the woodcutter looked her way. She stood straight and tall and pointed bravely to heaven, but the woodcutter never even looked up. "Any kind of tree will do for me," he muttered. With a swoop of his shining axe, the third tree fell. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought him to the carpenter shop. But the busy carpenter was not thinking about treasure chests. Instead, his work-worn hands fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once beautiful, beautiful tree was not covered with gold or filled with treasure. He was coated with sawdust and filled with hay for hungry farm animals. Oops. The second tree smiled when the woodcutter took him to a shipyard, but no mighty sailing ships were being made that way. Instead, the once strong tree was hammered and sawed into a simple fishing boat. Too small and too weak to sail an ocean or even a river, he was taken to a little lake. Every day, he brought in loads of dead, smelly fish. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut her into strong beams and left her in a lumberyard. "What happened?" the once tall tree wondered. "All I ever wanted to do was stay on the mountaintop and point to God." Many, many days and nights passed. The three trees nearly forgot their dreams. But one night, golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed her newborn baby in the feed box. Who's that baby? Jesus. Jesus, yeah. I wish I could make a cradle for him," her husband whispered. The mother squeezed his hand and smiled as the starlight shone on the smooth and sturdy wood. "This manger is beautiful," she said. And suddenly, the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure in the world. One evening, a tired traveler and his friends crowded into the old fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep as the second tree quietly sailed out into the lake. Soon, a thundering and thrashing storm arose. The little tree shuddered. He knew he did not have the strength to carry so many passengers safely through the wind and rain. The tired man awakened. He stood up, stretched out his hand, and said, "Peace." The storm stopped quickly as it had begun. And suddenly, the second tree knew he was carrying the King of Heaven and Earth. One Friday morning, the third tree was startled when her beams were yanked from the forgotten woodpile. She flinched as she was carried through an angry, jeering crowd. She shuddered when soldiers nailed a man's hand to her. She felt ugly and harsh and cruel. Cruel means like really mean. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. It made the first tree beautiful. It made the second tree strong. And every time people thought of the third tree, they would think of God. That was better than being the tallest tree in the world. Hi, you guys. Hi, you guys.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.
Good job, Rachel. Yeah, let's give her a hand. I can see folks clapping for Rachel. Appreciate that. All right, Jana is prepared to come preach for us this morning. She is in the book of Matthew. We're continuing our Sermon on the Mount series. As she comes, I just want to say a prayer for her. God, thank you for Jana, for her gifts. Thank you for this sermon, which you've given to her now. God, I would ask that you would empower her to speak the words you would have us to hear. May we listen well with our ears and our hearts. In your name I pray, amen. Jana.
Good morning. And how are all of God's favorite people doing this morning? Thank you for being here and joining us for worship. I enjoyed Frank's message last Sunday, talking about loving our enemies as we're in this series on the Sermon on the Mount, and reminding us that we are all God's favorite people. We're in a season of Lent, and Lent is usually a time of reflection and repentance. It invites us to look inside of our hearts, looking truly at ourselves, to see our brokenness and our beauty, our failings and our faithfulness. And we're asked the question, how do we enter a deeper commitment to the way of Jesus? And also during the time of Lent, it's encouraged that we give up something. It's a time of slowing down, meditation, acts of service, thinking and serving the least among us, helping us to increase justice and mercy in the world. Now, last year when we hit Lent and with the pandemic, I didn't even come up with something to give up because I felt so paralyzed by what was happening that giving up church was my Lent discipline. Giving up being with people. And I just remember being numb during that time, almost paralyzed by what we were experiencing. We've also observed Ash Wednesday here at Zion before. And Ash Wednesday is a simple service where it begins the first day of Lent, and then we walk for 40 days with Jesus before Easter. And when we're in that service of Lent, that's a time that we look at our mortality, that we place a cross of ash on our forehead and say to one another, remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. How good can we look with ashes? Well, I hope that takes us to this passage this morning about impressions that we give to others. How good can we look with ashes on our forehead? So I'm going to start with my conclusion, which I like the way Frank had done that last Sunday. Here's my conclusion for this morning's message. God turns all upside down. God will love and accept us, but it has nothing to do with our good first impressions. Jesus was very clear about the ineffectiveness of trying to impress God by impressing men. I've really appreciated this series on the Sermon on the Mount. I hope it has blessed you. I hope it's challenged you. This message, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, is what the kingdom of God is like. It's Jesus offering a new vision, of what it means to be God's people. We've talked about loving your enemies. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. When we choose to follow Jesus, this, the Beatitudes, is what our lives are to look like. So I'm going to start with our scripture. If you have a Bible nearby, please join me. I'm reading from Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. For when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What is our motivation as we practice right living? And I changed the word righteous to be righteous to right living. I want to use that word in the place of righteous today. What is our motivation and practice in right living in front of others? Is it to be seen by them? Because if we say we are kingdom people, then we're not about religious performance. Hopefully, God is doing an inner work inside of each of our hearts. Every time I prepare a sermon, I'm convicted by the message I'm going to bring. I feel like there's a refining of my inner being each time I do an in-depth study of Scripture and then prepare to present that to you. It's very convicting because I realize that I fall short, that I still have a lot of work to do on myself. And true conversion happens from the inside out. The definition of hypocrisy is behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feel. Hypocrisy, behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feel. Now, over my time of being in the church, there's been a lot of people that have left the church. We see a decline in numbers all across the country. I think every pastor could express that today. And some of those people that have left say one thing. Well, the church is full of hypocrites. They don't walk the talk. They put on a good act. And they act this way in one setting and another way in another setting. To me, what the Beatitudes are showing us is it's a heart issue. The things that we are challenged to practice our heart issues. Verse 2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. These passages reveal to me that God asks us to give, but we're not to announce it. We're not to do it with pride, drawing attention to ourselves, to what we are doing for others. You know, over the years, Craig and I have been able to give to different individuals that were going through a rough time. Now, for me to share details of what that was, I would feel like I would be bragging. So all I can say is, in those opportunities to give, Craig and I have been enriched. Craig and I have been blessed by being able to reach out in that way to others. And hopefully in our giving, God was able to touch that person. Hopefully that aided them in their spiritual growth. That brought them closer to the view of His kingdom. Giving is good. Giving to the poor, giving to the church, giving to assistance. It is all good. But it's important that in our giving, we give glory to God. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. The true practice of right living is to be moved, to be driven, to be inspired by acts of faith, not sight. And when we can accomplish this, God gets the glory. And that is our real purpose in this life, to give God the glory. From the Purpose Driven Life book, Rick Warren says this: the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, than your own peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, your ambitions, because you were placed on this planet and born by God's purpose for His purpose. Our lives are so short. We are here for just a minute chunk of time. We know we have an eternal life beyond this life. The Bible is God's owner's manual explaining why we are alive, how life works, what to avoid, and what to expect in the future. The Bible says God's wisdom goes deep into the interior of His purposes. It's not the latest message. It's like the oldest message. What God determined as the way to bring out the best in us as we walk in the light of our Lord Jesus. Now, who we are before God, we're not perfect. We're not saintly. We're sinners. and we all stumble. But our greatest value in this life is in Jesus. Our greatest worth is that Jesus sees our acts of service as an act of worshiping Him and showing gratitude for how He is working in our lives. Israel's mission from the beginning was to be light to the world and salt to the earth, from Matthew 5, 13 and 14. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Isaiah 42, 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, in right living. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Jesus challenged the people to return to their roots and to be what Israel was always meant to be, not an exclusive nationalistic religion isolated from the other nations, but a priestly kingdom, serving the Gentiles and leading them to worship the one true God. I was a part of a singing group in college, and we got to travel to different Mennonite churches throughout the year. And this is the words to one of the songs that we sang. I guess it all comes down to where your heart is. It's there your thoughts and feelings all begin. And if you never give your heart to Jesus, you'll never really have a part of Him. We're always going to wrestle in our decisions, and we're going to have mixed motivations in how we play out these acts of giving. Beware of seeking the praise of others over the glory of God. We're always going to wrestle in our decision making because it's an adjustment. It's always an adjustment to God. What should I do as your kingdom person? We are moved by faith rather than sight, because Jesus wants our heart to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. Thank you, Rachel, for reciting that passage this morning as a reminder. The reward is Jesus in all of these tasks for us as His followers. And His words to us will be, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There is nothing I can do, only Jesus working in me. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would help us to draw near to you, to rise and greet you as you ride into our cities, as we shout our hosannas, because you're a great God, a loving friend, a compassionate ruler. But out there in the distance, in a far corner of our being, we fear your arrival. Because you gently offer us a choice. To choose you means letting go of jealousies and resentments, our private wars against others, even our struggle to accept ourselves. And beyond those loud hosannas, you ask all of us for our obedience and our worship. And we're learning piece by piece to turn that over to you. So this week, as we look to Holy Week, the final days before your death on the cross, move us to deeper levels of ourselves, that we can feel again your pain of that last week, and we can touch our wounds, trusting you. Easter is the sign of hope for all of us. May our hearts and lives practice right living, God, for your glory. Amen. You're going to hear a song. This was from 1977 when I was a senior in high school. It came on the Christian radio. Now, the word man in this song would probably be changed to human today. So think of human as you listen to the song, Righteous Man.
I want to be a more righteous man. I want to be a godly man. Teach me to do what I can to follow closer to you. I want to follow a different drum, even if I'm the only one. I want to hear when I'm done, you did well, my son. Oh, won't you take a look around your brother? Oh, why, tell me why, doesn't anybody want to try anymore? I want to be a more righteous man. I want to be a godly man. Teach me to do what I can, follow closer to you. I want to follow a different drum, even if I'm the only one. I want to hear when I've done, you did well, my son. Won't you take a look around, you woman? Oh, why, tell me why, doesn't anybody want to cry? Be a godly man, teach me to do what I can to follow closer to you. I want to follow a different drum, even if I'm the only one. I want to hear when I'm done, you did well, my son.
Thank you, Janet, for that sermon this morning and bringing back a song from somewhere way back in my memory. By the way, I was not in high school yet in 1977. I wanted to point that out to Janet, so I thought I'd share that with the rest of you as well. No, thank you, Janet. That was helps me get a perspective as we step into Holy Week, recognizing Good Friday and that hope of Easter, certainly, fulfilling God's purposes in our lives. As we go to prayer this morning, we just want to pray for the family of Luella Hostetler as they are grieving the passing of her son, Glenn. Just a blessing upon their family. For Marlene and others who have some health issues, we want to continue to pray for them as a congregation. So join me in prayer. God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for your presence in our lives, God. God, I pray for Luella this morning and the rest of her family as they grieve the loss of Glenn, as they are saying their final goodbyes, God. I just ask that you would touch that family, be near to them, give them a sense of peace. God, we're thankful for Marlene's successful surgery. We ask for ongoing healing for her and just freedom from pain. And God, we pray for others in our congregation as well who are suffering maybe some health issues, some challenges, God. Just bless them. Touch them with your healing touch, God. And God, we ask that you would continue to help us to do what you want us to do. It is Jesus working in me. God, help me not get wrapped up in my own stuff, but help me to get wrapped up in your stuff. Amen. All right. As a benediction, you want to get your branches ready, and I'm enjoying the creativity of folks that are waving something, because I'm going to be reading, this is printed in the bulletin as well. It's from the Voices Together hymnal, our new hymnal. It's the reading number 885 for us for the benediction. Hosanna. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Blessed are we, for we have been created by that same God. Blessed is the sound of our voices lifted up in praise. Blessed are the hands that clap and strum and pluck, joined together in one glorious Hosanna. Blessed are the bodies that move and wave and march and dance in a tapestry of nations, embodying your love. Blessed is the breath that enlivens us, animates us, and sustains us in singing our ceaseless praise to you, O God. Hosanna, Hosanna. It has been good to be together this morning. I invite you to stay online if you want to say hi to everyone, and please remember to unmute yourself. And then Seth will put us in breakout groups, those that want to remain and be on there. But for now, I'd encourage you just unmute yourself and say hello to one another.